I would invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. If you don't have a Bible with you, it's page 1018 in the Pew Bible. As we think today about God's family, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. So then, remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two. Thus, making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him both of us have access in the one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. I had thought about breaking into, but then I decided it probably wouldn't be all that great if I broke into "We Are Family." Or maybe even "Everyday People." I am everyday people, yeah, yeah. Sly and the Family Stone. Some of us are old enough to know that. Or other songs about family. But I guess the only song that would really be appropriate here: Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Even we children who have birthdays. Family. The word brings all sorts of thoughts and reactions to our minds and to our hearts, does it not? Some find joy and comfort in memories. Some find joy and comfort in the presence of family. For some, the memories may point to a different reality, one that might be filled with more outlaws than we could find in the Old West. There may be visions of Ozzie and Harriet, or maybe even the Archie Bunker family. There are traditional families that might come to mind, or perhaps blended families, which are highly diverse, reflecting on or encountering some of our family members may be joyous or might be a little more than uncomfortable. We would almost likely agree that families certainly make life interesting, do they not? And family dynamics can be every bit as up and down as that roller coaster I love to ride in the back car with the bar up a little bit. The one that when you go to Carowinds, you go around to the right, the old rickety wooden roller coaster. Very tremendous highs and lows and lots of jerking around sometimes. And yet there can be excitement in those family relationships as well. But you know, many people, many of us, will overlook much because it's my family. And of course, there is that saying your mama or daddy used as you were growing up, or at least if you had one like mine, you did. When you were getting ready to go off with friends or go out somewhere, that's remember now who you are. Meaning remember your family and your family name and reputation. In Ephesians, the writer reflects upon a great number of truths about God's desires for the world and how God seeks to accomplish what we often call as God's will or God's desire. Just prior to the passage under consideration are some verses that I imagine if I started the most everyone in here could complete. Because we're all familiar with Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, right? For by grace you are saved through faith. Although we oftentimes forget verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he created beforehand that we should live in them. And then he moves from that transitional verse into talking about being family. And part of what that salvation by grace through faith is about is that our working of life in that salvation in grace and faith means we work to increase and to love and to care for family. Not just our biological families, but our family in the world. In particular, our Christian family, but even bringing others in to the family. The writer in these verses under consideration today speaks about God's wish to bring all things and all persons together in Christ and in Christ's redemption for us. Not just we who come into the church on Sundays or Wednesdays. The verses in John 3 don't say, for God so loved the people in the church that he gave his only son. But God so loved the cosmos, the entire world, that whosoever could become part of that family of church, that family of redemptive grace. But we also find that God wants us as the church, individually and together, to be continuing incarnations of Christ's reconciliation, of Christ's redemption, which he gives to us, then we continue to enflesh, to work out that redemption, thereby increasing God's family, reconciling ourselves to God, and reconciling ourselves to each other. As we move further along this morning, we need to look at some of the truths of the passage, which may help us find more of our way as God's family, remembering that we still have some warts, we still have some dysfunction, but we're still family. First, Paul reminds us who we were before coming to Christ. The Ephesian church contained primarily Gentile Christians. And a writer recalls their separation from God in no uncertain terms. He calls them the uncircumcised, separated from Christ, aliens to God, excluded from God's kingdom, that is, Israel. He calls them strangers or foreigners to the covenants of God's promise, without hope and without God. Think about that for a moment. And we're not just talking about folks that have to have the Damascus Road kind of experience. Paul is saying any of you, even through ignorance, as those Gentiles did not know of the covenant with Israel, are without hope and without God. Each of these depictions carried a certain degree of weightiness or heaviness on the minds of the people and upon their hearts. Even though circumcision and citizenship in Israel might not be that significant for the Gentiles or for us, some descriptions are troublesome. Separated from Christ, without hope. These words are not easy to hear, are they? They're certainly not easy to think about when it comes to ourselves. That at one time we were, or perhaps maybe we are, separated and without hope. But they ring true. Basically, what Paul is saying here is, remember that without Christ, we were hopeless. We were hopeless without Him. Regardless of how good or bad we might have thought we were, regardless of how good or bad we might think we live, anytime we are without Christ, we are in a state of no real hope. Yet, God's grace is there. And it's wonderfully amazing, is it not? But we have done nothing to deserve it. In fact, the Bible teaches that we were all separated from God by what? Thank you. Sin. All separated from God by sin. As one writer states, and I quote, "I don't think we can fully appreciate God's grace until we can fully appreciate our own depravity. We can't rejoice in being made alive in Christ if we don't realize we were once dead in our sins. We can't celebrate our faith very well if we miss the distance that we once were from God. Our world has taught us that we are privileged and deserving of the best God has to offer. But the Bible teaches us our sins separate us from God." End of quote. And that doesn't just mean murder, theft. That doesn't just mean that we're okay if our mantra is, "I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't go with girls that do." That means any sin separates us from God. However, Paul didn't stop with the bad news. Sounds kind of like bad news. You were without hope, away from the covenant, away from the promise, outside of the people of God. But Paul doesn't stop with only bad news. He continues to tell the church what Jesus did for us. Not just them, but for us. Christ breaks down the dividing wall of hostility. The hostility that was between us and God. There were all sorts of walls and barriers in and around the temple. From the wall separating the court of the Gentiles from the court of women. Separating the court of women from where the average Jewish male could go and where the priests gathered. And ultimately, there was that heavy curtain between the Debir, or the Holy of Holies, and the place of worship proper. A heavy curtain between the worshipers and the priests and the presence of God. Paul says Jesus has broken down not just the separation between God and the priests. and not just the separation between where the average Jewish male would go and where the women had to stay. But God in Christ has broken down the hostility and the separation between God and the nations, represented by the Gentiles, the ethnos. We have God available to us. But we're talking about family here. It's not just available to my family. It's not just available to me. God is available and accessible to any and all persons. But Paul doesn't stop there. While the law had separated people and Christ came to bring them together, that also means that those walls of separation, those dividing walls of hostility, are the walls that Christ is here to break down between that one that has wronged me and me, or that one that I have insulted and me. For in so doing, in tearing down those walls and coming back together as family, we further bring ourselves closer to what God's desire is for you and for me and for this world. Jesus' life and death on the cross overcome sin, even the sin separating people from each other, regardless of race, nationality, culture, social status, or whether they're in-laws or outlaws. Jesus' life was lived to bring us together. Jesus' death and resurrection was to accomplish that final separation. Together, Jesus' life and death overcomes all that should separate us. Jewish Christians were to welcome Gentile Christians into the family, and Gentile Christians were not to consider themselves beneath or above the Jewish Christian counterparts. Jesus lived and died to bring people together, to give us God's peace through the power of God's reconciling love. Now, in this passage, Paul has spoken of who we were and of what Jesus has done, which leads him to talk of who we now are. From who we were through what Jesus has done and continues to do in us, to who we are. Family. We're no longer strangers and aliens with God or each other, but we are, to quote Paul, members of the household of God. The cornerstone of the household of God is Jesus Christ. The household is Christ's church. People who have been separated and hostile, but who are now family through God's peace and God's grace, while we are individuals in many ways. Because Lord help you if you're like me all the time. But while we are individuals in many ways, we're not made to live outside of community. I know sometime, you may have already reached this point, sometime you may get tired of this reference, but I still reference once again, showing something of my age and background, that old song that was popular when I was growing up, "No Man Is an Island, No Man Walks Alone. Each man's joy is joy to me, each man's grief is my own. We all need each other. Therefore, I will defend each man as my brother, each man as my friend." We are made to be in community, not outside. One writer states, and I quote, "It's important to see here God created the church to be a household of faith, not an apartment of singular Christianity. Those who claim the name of Jesus without attachment to a body of Christians misunderstood what God created when he fashioned the church into existence. End of quote. We are created and called to be the family of God, not just locally, but also outside of our locale throughout the entire world. This means that like our biological or married into families, we're not alike in all ways. We have different likes and dislikes, different tastes in things, but we still are brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. We're not alone, because God has given us not only Himself, but God gives to us other Christians with whom to live in community and fellowship. The good, the bad, even the ugly. Sorry. As I read different sources for this message some weeks ago, a writer used a story which I want to share here as we approach the end of my musings. He read a personal story from a preaching professor by the name of Fred Craddock. Craddock grew up in western Tennessee, and he had made a trip back to where he was born and grew up. On Sunday night, he went with one of his old friends to church. The church was small, with a small crowd of worshipers. And Craddock noticed, though, that there were beautiful and expensive stained glass windows all around them. In fact, they were breathtaking. Sure, not as pretty as these, but they were breathtaking. Though he was raised there, he didn't recognize any of the names as he went around on the plaques, though, under each of the windows. When he mentioned this to his friend and asked if these were names of new people that had come in the church and maybe they had decided to donate some windows, his friend said, "Well, no, actually a church in St. Louis custom ordered these windows from Italy. And when they got them, they'd measured wrong and it didn't fit. They advertised in a church paper that they would sell them because they were going to have new ones made, and they were so cheap that we bought them all." Craddock commented on how beautiful they were, but he wanted to know, "What are you going to do then with all of these names, because none of them are members of your church? Are you going to take the plaques down and replace them, or what?" His friend looked at him and said, "Well, the board discussed that, and we decided to leave the names up there. You see, it's good for us in our little church to realize there's some Christian people besides us." God created the church as a household of faith for those who were separated from God and without hope. People like me. And people like some of you, if not all of us. He allows us, well, he brings to us many different people and brings different persons together within the church he created, both in Piedmont and beyond in the larger world. In Jesus, God lived, spent much of his time with those who were unlike the super religious. In Jesus, he died and was resurrected to make us family, God's family, so that Christ may be known to others as we learn to live like we know we're family. And that is indeed our challenge, is to live with each other and to live with others around us like we know they really are family, but family in and through God in Jesus. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you care so much for us and for our world, that you want us to share your life with each other. Help us to remember that there are Christian people out there besides us, and that while we don't always agree on all the small details, we're still family because of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of decision, is hymn number 415. We are called to be God's people. As we stand and as we sing together, our altar is open for any decision that anyone might make, whether a first-time profession publicly of faith in Jesus, or a recommitment, or any other decision. Hymn number 415, we are called to be God's people.